parshiyos of Yisra and Mishpatim, when we talk about and study Matan Torah and what the essence of Torah is, it's very important that we realize that as much as the Torah speaks about human issues, who acts as goring each other, and we use logic to understand Torah, Torah speaks to humans in a human plane. It's ultimately our portal to Hashem, the metaphysical, and we're connecting to what we don't understand. As the Ramban famously writes in his Hakdamah to Chumash, all the psukim in the Torah are really Shemesh al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The letters, before they were broken down, the Ram letters are divine attributes. They were broken into letters and psukim and a human story that we could relate to as our portal to what's beyond. And this is true. This irony of a very human Torah dealing with human issues, but a portal to relate to the infinite, is perhaps very belated in the fact that on one hand, Matan Torah was an encounter with the divine. The Jewish people saw a vision and encountered something beyond human beings. They couldn't handle it. On the other hand, immediately following Matan Torah, in Parshas Mishpatim, we have Mishpatim, the so-called rational mitzvahs, that we could seemingly relate to more. Ve'elah HaMishpatim is continuation of Matan Torah. Ve'elah, the vav of Ve'elah means Motav al Rishonos. It's a continuation of the Har Sinai experience of Parshas Yisrael. And there's not even a new Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemar in the beginning of Ve'elah HaMishpatim. Ve'elah HaMishpatim is part and parcel of the Nevuah of post-Har Sinai at the end of Yisrael. Vayomar Hashem al Moshe Kosim al B'nei Yisrael Atari Samimim Hashemayim Dibarti Alecha. Right? So Mishpatim, the rational Torah, that which we can relate to, is really integral to Har Sinai, to our ability to interact with what's beyond. And never believe that the rational is in the Torah, the ethics that are conveyed, the humanistic concepts, is what it's ultimately about. That's our human ability to relate to the infinite. I want to bring this out through a study of one of the features of Matan Torah, and that is the concept of Ro'anes HaKolos, the ability to see almost visually that which would otherwise be only audible, the spoken word. I want to bring that out and explain that, and you'll see how it relates to the concept we're studying this morning. This miraculous concept, as Rashi says, that speech, words, something which in no other context can be seen, could be seen here, could be seen. Chazal derived from the pasuk at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, V'chol ha'am ro'an esakolos. Now, ro'an esakolos, they saw the voice. Red, they saw the divine voice. They beheld the divine utterances of Asaras HaDibros, or at least Anochi and Lira. Now, is that the Pshuta Shel Mikra? Is that the simple read of the pasuk? Seeing the voices, they saw the Dvar Hashem. That is certainly not the Pshuta Shel Mikra. There is no question the Pshuta Shel Mikra of Ro'an es HaKolos is not a reference to the divine voices of Anochi L'Yelcha, but rather, at most, a reference to the thunder and the lightning, and perhaps somewhat of a miracle of ability to see the thunder. But these kolos, on a level of Pshuta Shel Mikra, would not mean, as Rashi said, Ro'an es HaNishma, which is standardly understood, as Rashi said, as a kol hayotzi mipi gvura, the divine voice. But the most that they were able to see on a level of Pshuto Shel Mikra is the kolos as in the thunder. You know why I say that? For several reasons. Because the continuum of the pasuk, Ro'an es HaKolos, v'as halapidim, v'as hakol shofar, it speaks not of the Ten Commandments, the Aseret HaDibros, but of the fire and lightning show. The Kolos, Lapidim, and Kol Shofar. The fire, along with the Kol Shofar, which appeared before Har Sinai, before Aseret HaDibros, right? Earlier, when Moshe brought the people to Har Sinai, Vayhi Vayom HaShlishu B'yos HaBoker, before Hashem ever spoke, Vayhi Kolos Uvrakim V'anam the Kol Shofar. You see the Kolos, especially in the package, as part of the package with the fire and the kol shofar, is not a reference to the Ten Commandments, right? It's a reference to the thunder, the lightning, Hashem's divine lightning show. And in a certain sense, It had to be that way. The only thing on a level up shot which they could so perceive and see was the thunder, lightning, so far. Because recall the famous Pasuk in Parshas Vayeshlach, which says, as follows. Rafi cites it in this week's in Parshas Yisro as well. Min hashamayim hishmacha es kol liyasarecha. From heaven, his chastising voice, the Aseret Seder Besamert, v'al ha'aretz harefa. All you could see on earth was as isho ha'gad. Right? And Rashi makes a big point to that in Parshas Yisro b'shem Chazal. That the voice of the Aseret Seder Bes was yonder, was in heaven. The only thing of it was visible on earth, was the fire, the lightning, the thunder. And therefore, on a level of Pshat, there is no question that when it says at the end of Parshas Yisro, V'chola Amro Nesakolos, they saw the kolos. This does not mean, as Rashi said, the divine voice of the Aseret Hadibros. The most it means is the thunder. They were able to see the thunder. And perhaps there's a miracle there, right? Thunder is also an audible sound. The ability to see it, right, is a miracle, which we'll touch on soon, but it's not the divine voice, it's simply the thunder they were able to see. The divine voice, on the other hand, they could not see. The most they had was Shmia, hearing, Minishamayim Hishmacha as Kolo, from heaven it was hearing the divine voice, and that goes back to the Pasuk in Parashas Yisro, when it says, Mavor Yishmacha on Bedari Imach, all they heard from the divine was hearing, and even when the people request to see, they are unable to see the divine voice, which is only in heaven. That is a Pshuto Mikra perspective. Yet on a level of Pshat, of Drashim, sorry, Rashi B'Shem Chazal is reading this V'chola Amro Nesakolos, them sing the voice, to be a reference to the voice of the Ten Commandments itself. Some deeper shot of Drash, and I'll tell you where I think Chazal are getting this from. Because there are several psukim which seem to describe Kol Yisrael as seeing the essential Har Sinai experience, which presumably mean the utterance of the Aseret HaDibros. Whether it's the pasuk in Parshas Yisro, which says, Atem re'isem min ha'shamayim dibarti aleichem. You see that I spoke to you from heaven. The divine voice of the Aseret HaDibros in heaven is something you could see. You hear that pasuk? Atem re'isem v'shamayim dibarti aleichem. Or the pasuk in Parshas Vayeshlach, which says, Parak Dalet pasuk Yud-Beis, Vayedaber Hashem Aleichem Mitocha Eish Kol Dvar Matam Shomem, Utmuna In Samroim. You couldn't see an image. Zulasi Kol besides the voice, and finally you could see the voice. Right. So you have these softer references, implying that at least Bederach HaDrash, that would be my textual explanation of the Rashi, while in fact all they saw, the lightning, the thunder, and the most they could hear was a divine voice of the Ten Commandments from yonder, right? Somehow on a level of Drash, right? They were perceiving voice in heaven. What does this all mean? Let me unpack this a bit. The whole concept of ability to see an audible word needs to be explained. In general, the fact that we can't see a voice is because words are not in the realm of actuality. At three levels to the human condition: machshava, dibur, maisa, thought, speech, deed. Thoughts and speech are the planning stage, right? I think of something, I even tell you it, so you hear me. You don't have the vividness of seeing it. It's not only all about my sex, it's just a plan. Nothing has happened until I then do. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however, it's not that way. But as the Baal Tanya famously writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his thoughts and his words are as actual and as much a source for matter to exist as handiworks. Hashem created the world with Asar Mamar. Right? So that means Hashem's thoughts and Hashem's words are real and are even creative. When it comes to human beings, thoughts and words are just planning stage. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's the Tanya writes, Who is one with his thoughts and his words. So the thoughts and the words of Hashem are Hashem. Hashem is real. So nothing about Hashem could simply be planning, using sentiments. It's real. So divine words, divine thoughts are real. This is true of the 10 utterances of creation. And this is true of the parallel Aseres HaDibros. The words of Torah are not just thoughts and musings. They're reality. They're a divine reality, which are as real as anything in the physical world. And I'm going to just throw in as hakolos on some level. You could see what's in the divine voice, because seeing, the fact that something has actuality, that it can be seen, right? The divine word has actuality in it, because it is the divine itself. Of course, unless you're great Bala Madrigas, Klaus Shol, we're at Harsina, you are incapable of seeing the divine reality, even in words, but Rowan S. Hakolos, the potential for that, which Klal Yisrael realized at Har Sinai, bespeaks the divine reality, the divine essence, which is inherent in every word of Torah. You're not simply learning Hashem's thoughts, Hashem's ideas, but it's divine actuality, which is real. Of course, and of course, ultimately, more real. Correct. Tanya discusses that too. Now, on a level of pshat, as much as that's true, there's no way the Jewish people could really behold the divine words, and certainly not the divine essence within those words as inherent as in Rona Sakolos. And that's why the Torah is saying, all you saw on earth was the thunder and lightning show, the representation of the divine. Min ha-shamayim hishmachas kol ol yasareka, the voice remained in heaven, v'yala aretz herachas isha ha-gadol. Right? The fire, the lightning. Now, that lightning show is a representation of the divine you could see on earth. And albeit within that divine representation, you sense the fact that there's divine actuality even in coal. And that's why perhaps Rowan and Sakolos, they could see the voice within the thunder. It's only the voice within the thunder. However, on a deeper level, somehow, through seeing that fire and lightning show, they did come in contact with the coal that was in Shemayim, right? That somehow the Rowan as HaKolos, which on a level of Pshat means the thunder, is being interpreted in reference to the divine voice of the Ten Commandments itself, because all of the symbolism in Torah, i.e. creating portals for human beings to relate to, thunder, lightning, what overwhelms us human beings. And for that matter, as we started off with, everything in Torah, which seems very humanistic, it's a portal to the realm of heaven and that which is beyond. And hence you have Pesukim, as we studied, Atah Risakim min ha-shamayim di'arti aleichem, on some sense, you saw the words in heaven, right? Utmuncham ein aron zulasi kol. You couldn't see the image, but you could see the voice, right? Or Atah HaReisa LaDas at Har Sinai Ki Hashem Hu Elokim. You saw with Das that reality of Hashem Elokim, the Hashem through Torah, not simply the fire and lightning show. I'm going to suggest that the schism between Pshat and Drash here, the fact, and really various psukim, the fact that some psukim are saying literally all they made out was the fire, the thunder, and the most miracle of Rowan as a close was only the thunder. And that's the pshat level. And other psukim are implying they did behold the voice of Sinai, means that one is through the other. The human symbolisms, that which the Torah gives us a portal to relate to, not only the fire and thunder of Har Sinai, but the fact, as we said, the Torah speaks in a human idiom and tugs at our human heart with human stories, Rachel and Leah and sibling rivalry, all of that is a portal to relate to what's beyond, that through the Rona Sakolos of the thunder, on some level they heard, that they saw and related to the divine essence behind it. And that's the meaning of this lesson that emerges between the schism of Pshat and Drash here. And that's why the term Roa appears so many times in the story with Sunayna Liras Pnei Melkeinu, Tamrisa Pnei Shemayim Tibarti Aleichem, Atah Reis Ladas. Har Sinai is about seeing, coming in contact with divine actualities. These are not thoughts and musings simply to be heard, but on some level, actually to be seen, because the divine essence which we behold in Torah is real, and we could relate to it. And you recall in previous weeks we studied that the concept of Das, of knowing something rather than simply believing, is akin to seeing. When you see something, you really know it. Seeing is not believing, seeing is knowing. You remember the pattern we traced that on Parashat Shmos? It speaks of Shmia and Amunah. right? Vayishmon, they listen, vayamino, and they believe. We trace that several times, right? It's only in parashas of Va'era, the parasha of vision. Atah tereh, he tells Moshe at the end of Shavuos. Now you're going to see. And then Va'era sing, but then the term das starts to appear, culminating at Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which the Rambam defines as the mitzvah of to know. Yidias Hashem, knowing I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim, based on the Pesukim Be'era, V'lachafti Esam Li'la'am, I will take you as my people, will form a covenant, Har Sinai, V'idatam Ki Ani Hashem. Das, right, is a concept of Re'iyah, hence the nexus of Atah HaReisa L'das. Hashem is not a concept, an abstraction, a divine abstraction, but something which we actually know and actually connect to with Re'iyah / Das, and therefore our relationship with Hashem begins more nebulous as a Shmiah / Amuna. But that at the onset of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but by the end of Yetzias Mitzrayim, certainly at the time of Matan Torah, we're Rohan Esakolos, we are in touch with the divine reality, we are like this with it, we know it, we see it. Now, two addendum points. Number one, and with that I will conclude. Number one, you might say, well, Kol Yisrael at Har Sinai saw and came in contact with something. Subsequent generations, for us, it's only a Masorah, right? It's hearsay, albeit very credible hearsay, or I shouldn't call it hearsay, reports, as the Kuzari writes, fathers don't lie to their children. But does that not take away some of the power for subsequent generations, especially when you appreciate that at Har Sinai, when Hashem told when Moshe tells Kol Yisrael, Atan Harisa, you saw Kiman Shamayim Dibarati Alecha, Rashi says that means it's not just something your fathers are telling, it's not just a Masorah, right? Well, subsequent generations, it is a Masorah. So does that not undercut the power of the vividness of the encounter with the divine for subsequent generations? Yeah, you'll be matzah. You'll say, because the first generation had an intimate experience, even the more nebulous contact of subsequent generations is powerful, but that's unpleasing. Every word in Torah, even those spoken to previous generations, as a Torah sign in some way relate to us. Apparently, the Masorah Sa'avas, which we have, after Har Sinai, now attained a certain vividness that we encounter the truth which our fathers taught us almost be a deal, huh?
In other words, the mitzvahs bring us back. If it's Mitzrayim, we have constant reminders. I give stuff like pearls, it's a pearl filling. I'm honest in business. All those things that tell us we went out of Mitzrayim.
Very good, excellent. Mitzvah, as I said, was one portal that it's a reality, not an abstraction. And I'm going to suggest also, you know, I'll conclude with this. Some of it has to do with the concept of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Something is not just told as a report, but the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and to a degree Matan Torah, which we relate to our children, it's said with a certain vividness of experiencing it firsthand. Right? It's not just a sentiment. Somehow the truths of these formative experiences, right? The earlier generation, Sipur means not just telling information, but a vivid storytelling of living it. It comes alive for our children. And that is why the Pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Bo, Lamata Saper Ba'aznei Bilcho, so you tell your children, V'datem. V'datem means in the plural, as Mafarshim say, you will know father and son. When the father relates to the child, V'datem. Father and son know, as much as Yediyah we trace scripturally, is an expression of Re'iyah and Hashem. You know something when you see it, not simply when you hear it. Hear the dig that somehow through Sipur, a father and a son, the child knows it as much as the parent. V'datem in the plural, father and son, right? Shmiah becomes Re'iyah, becomes real Yediyah, because the way we relate Yetzias Mitzrayim and ultimately Matan Torah to our children has that vividness. We share with our children that reality that it's a part of us, and perhaps that's why in the beginning of Parshas Yisro, in terms of Yisro's personal journey to Matan Torah, which is we studied in previous shiurim, is symbolic of the national journey which follows at the end of Parshas Yisro. As much as Yisro's relationship begins with Shmiah by Yishma Yisro, right? Just as Klal Yisrael and Shmos, their relationship to Yetzias Mitzrayim, the truth of Hashem began with Shmiah by Yishma. Shmiah, it's only Amuna. By the end of the story, he has Yediyah, right? After Moshe tells him the story. You know why? Because the term it uses to describe Moshe's relating it to Kol Yisrael, the Pesukos in the beginning of Parshas Yisrael, Vayesaper Moshe L'chasno. It's Sibor, the same term as Sibor in Yitzchias Mitzrayim. Just as we relate to our children and hence they reach a level of Das, we share not only the truth of the information, but the vividness, the vitality of the encounter with the divine, and hence it comes alive for them. They have Re'iyah Shmiya, not simply Re'iyah Yediya, not simply Amunah Shmiya. Yisro's Shmiya too morphs into Das, which I am conflating with Re'iyah. It's real, because Moshe did Sipor to him. That's the echo in the Pasuk by Yisaper, right? Moshe, who's his Rebbe, a Rebbe's like a father, he shares not only the information of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but the vividness of it being part and parcel of him. And therefore, my takeaway message is the divine essence, which we experience on a metaphysical level, through a very physical and a human Torah, but in human issues, sipping rye will rock away, and we all think we can relate to it. It's a psychological story, right? And halachas in the human play kigach sharis and shariyehu. But the knowledge, right? Through the thunder and the lightning, through relating to the what's visible in a human plane, we're relating to the kol mipi gvura in shamayim, the divine essence, and seeing it, the divine essence, as we said, coming alive in the words of Torah, that is something which is eternal. The older generation passes on not only the truth of the information, but that level of intimate encounter with the divine. May we all be zocha when we learn Torah to appreciate these are not just holy words, holy stories. We are encountering the divine. We are bedvekas. We are one with Hashem here. And be able to be mesaper and pass on to subsequent generations and everyone in our sphere of influence, not only the truth of the Torah, but the power, the passion, and the connectivity of relating to Hashem like this through it. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a good Shabbos.